Welcome to Improv 409, the podcast that shines a spotlight on the improv community right here in Toledo, Ohio. Each episode, I'll sit down with local performers to talk about what makes improv exciting, terrifying, hilarious, and life-changing. You'll get behind-the-scenes stories, personal journeys, and maybe a few scenes and laughs along the way. If you've ever wondered what really happens on and off the stage, or if you've thought, improv sounds fun, but I could never, then you're in the right place. You'll get the Improv 411 here on Improv 419. I'm your host, Lindsay, and welcome. This week on Improv 419, we're here with Bingo Rich's very own Ocean Alvarado. Ocean is a D&D player known for his big characters, great voices, and fearless commitment to the bit. Hi, Ocean.
Hi, Lindsay.
How are you?
It's crazy to be here.
It is crazy.
I'm really happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
I'm so glad that you said yes, and we can learn about your improv journey.
Oh.
Should we just start from the beginning? How did you learn about improv?
I kind of forgot about it, but watching, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Mm-hmm. With my grandma when I was pretty young. I forgot that show is as old as it was, but I loved that and then forgot about improv. I didn't even know that that was, like, short-form improv at the time. I was just like, this is the best show in the world. And then Dungeons and Dragons in, like, high school, that's, like, the same. It's a lot of the same muscles and, like, the same part of your brain. Me and my friends said for years, like, we're doing improv, we're improvising, we're improvisers, because we were doing it improvisationally, but none of us were ever trained. And then Dropout, the YouTube channel Dropout, they had a lot of short form stuff. I forget the name of the show. Who's that voice? What is it?
Make some noise.
Make Some Noise. Yes. Yeah, that was the one that really got me hooked on, like, short form games, and it made me just Google improv classes near me. And they were just in downtown Toledo.
That's awesome. Yeah. How would you explain short form versus long form for some new improv listeners?
Yeah. Short form, I would say, is based around games. So it's a lot of rules. Scenes are like a minute to 2 minutes. And it's like shorter. Long form is a lot more like acting. It's sets. So like maybe 3 to 5 minute scenes and then 20 minute full sets, where a game could just be like, Hey Waiter is a game where it's just three improvisers making up characters coming into a restaurant and the waiter matches the accent. That's like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can't stretch that out for 20. Maybe you can, you shouldn't.
It would be a very long Hey Waiter scene for sure.
Yeah. And then long form can get even longer. So we've opened, we're on a team, by the way. Should we say that? Yeah.
We are on a team called Bingo Rich.
Yeah.
Which Liz Gordon, our previous guest on Improv 419, is also on that team.
Also on. Liz is crazy funny. Yeah. Liz is like
big fan.
Intimidatingly funny. I love that we're in a community where I'm like a genuine fan of people that we just get to play with and hang out with.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of you as well.
I'm a giant fan of yours. Oh, and we're on the same team.
I know.
Yeah.
It's such a joy.
Yeah. It feels like we're friends with celebrities. Like that we know Floyd, that we know like the best drag queen in the area, Deja, is so cool. I forgot that last night. I ran into him last night and I was like, you're the best.
Yeah. And like people will come and approach him too and be like, oh my God, I love you. And be like, I should be asking for your autograph.
I'm gonna actually. And I'm gonna keep it as merch.
Yes. And then sell the extra on eBay.
Yeah. What was the question? Long form.
Yes, long form.
So we've opened for a two act improvised play before. Home Slice. That's like a 40-minute two-act play that is just long form, where they're set in one location. They get that as a suggestion from the audience. And then the cast, which is like five, I think somewhere between like 5 to 9, depending on their night, live there and are the people that occupy the space. And the location changes every time. And that's still long form. That's as long form as just two people doing a 5-minute mono scene. Which another one of our teammates has his own show. Paul Bergman has Duoplicity, and they do, 7-minute long form?
Yes, I think it's 7 minutes.
Yeah, mono scenes in duos. So one location, two characters, and then you're done when it's done.
Mm-hmm. I just did that last week, the week before, and that's so challenging to just be you and another person for 7 minutes straight. with no, like, nobody else is coming on to save you. So, like, you are just the same characters the whole time.
How did you survive that? I'm doing it in December and it sounds so scary.
It's very fun, but it's challenging just because it's a new experience.
Yeah.
And you don't get a suggestion from the audience. The suggestion is from a song that they play. Mm-hmm. So they turn off all the lights and then they play a song. And then when the lights come on, the scene starts.
That's really cool.
It's really fun.
I love that.
It's a good show to go see as well, like, as an audience member, because everybody's like singing along with the song that's playing.
Oh, that's
so really the good. Energy is really high. It's a good one.
I think it's good. And like maybe a thing to, well, I was about to just jump into something else.
That's all right.
Because I've produced some of my own shows over the summer here, and we're both trained out of Glass City Improv in Toledo. I was running some shows out of event space called Cups of Art, and I was just getting just Glass City people to come down, some people from Michigan to come down and just perform. I did like my own short form show that I like made teams for, and then I did a long form show where I had people that were already pre-made teams. I realized that there's not that well of an established improv community here. Like, it's just us. So to sell it to a general audience, you have to like pitch it and explain it to people that are like, isn't it just stand-up comedy? Mm. And I think short form is really good for getting new people on board. And Paul's Duo Show, I'm saying all this to get to, Paul's Duo Show is a really good way to get people into long form specifically, where it's not just like a weird, esoteric 20 minutes of people doing improv that you don't understand. It's like, no, like you get the song, you get a big variety of improvisers. Is it like 16 improvisers or is it like 12?
Yeah, something like that. It might be 12.
And
people that might not know each other. It's their first time performing ever with the other person.
Yeah.
And they pull the names like from a hat, basically.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to, I'm terrible at improvising with people that I don't know beforehand.
I don't think that's true at all.
Oh, I'm very
critical.
You've
done jams and everything. So with jams, anybody is welcome. So it might be people that have never done improv before. Mm-hmm. And then you go up on stage with people you've never even met. Mm. And I think it's very fun.
I tend to be pretty critical of how I play. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And I would never want to say like to my teammate, like, you should have done this or I wish you would have done that. But I will cut down, even if I was getting laughs, cut down and shred anything I was doing. Be like, that should have been better. That should have been a smarter choice. That should have been quicker. That should have been funnier.
I ask, what are you comparing it to? Just what the afterthought is?
You know, my first thought would be like Jesus and what he's done and how perfect he is. You know, of all the funny people that I like, I would compare it to like our teachers or like people.
Jesus?
My favorite personal teacher. No, I'd compare it to people like Liz. Like, we're on a team with some really funny people. Mm-hmm. Compared to you, you're like really natural and witty. So stuff that can just seem kind of innocuous sounds really funny when it's out of your mouth. Like, you were naming off names of silly hairstyles, and it was just getting huge laughs at one of our shows. I'm like, that's great.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're very good at like character work. There's not a lot of people in the scene that I think can compare to the characters that you come up with. The voices, like, you're incredible at voices too.
Thank you. That feels good to hear. Thank you so much.
Audience, listen. Listen
Don't,
to that voice.
No. I feel like a hack. No, I'm realizing that, like, I've been doing silly voices my entire life. And I thought playing D&D would help me with characters on stage. And I kind of realized in the past couple of weeks that I'm better at doing characterizations or like caricatures than an actual character. Because like a character is someone that has like wants and needs and is consistent. And I'm good at like, I'm a British weirdo who's down by the docks and selling you fish. You want some fish? And I'm just that guy. That guy doesn't have a home or a life. And it's like, oh, an improv, like you can build that organically. But like that's a skill I really have to work on, that I thought I was just like, oh, a character's just an accent. No. Nope. I have exactly 7 British references and they're all gone by the first 3 lines.
That sounds like a challenging thing to work on. I mean, the start with the voice, I think, does that lead you to where they're from or thoughts and feelings? Have you like noticed a change since a couple weeks ago when you realized that?
We So I'm retaking level three. You and I have both done all three levels of classes at Glass City. And I have it with Jeremy Natter, who was my level one teacher, mm-hmm. which is really cool to hear that you had Katie on yours as your yeah. level one teacher.
And they're great level ones.
Mm-hmm. They're great on their team.
In general.
Yeah, they're great. Like Jeremy is a great level three teacher. And we just had character week where he was like, write down the kinds of characters that you play and bring them back in and we'll do some exercises with them next week. And I was super excited because I had like 38 characters like filled out. And then I started to realize a lot of them are just accents and that I can't use all of them in the same way. But that helped me categorize them differently. So if it's an accent that's not an American accent, I won't initiate with it. But if someone else does it, I will dive onto that accent so hard. If Liz comes in as like a British mom, I'm right there as like a weird little British kid. I won't initiate as a German doctor, but if someone is clearly coming, if Josh, our other teammate, comes in as someone German, I'm exactly right there. But if I am initiating, then I'll do like, it'll be like more nasally and more general, just like a dirty kid. Hey, what's up? You knocked over my telescope again. Like I'll initiate with that because that's more broad, but just breaking down the kinds of characters and voices I would use. Yeah, that's helped me a lot. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know that it needed that kind of breakdown. Because, like, 38's a lot. And I was like, oh, yeah, I bet no one else has that many. And it's like, well, how long could I do them for? 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Then I have five characters.
That's very true. Like, it's a skill set to even be able to do that accent for 30 seconds. But then to create a human being out of it is such a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Part of what I liked... is if it's like a tough guy voice subverting it with being like a sweetheart, or if it's a sweet voice subverting it with being like a rascal or someone that's kind of malicious. And then that kind of ends up being like the same joke over and over. If it's just, oh, I'm a cowboy who has two daisies in his holsters instead of two guns. It's like, well, great. How long is cute cowboy going to last?
But I think that goes with what improv is, though, going against the expectation of what the audience, they assume what they're going to see if you come out as a cowboy. And then to be like this peaceful man is very endearing.
That does sound kind of funny of like, put him up and he like blows a dandelion at you.
Right. I know you have bad allergies.
Okay, this is pretty good.
You bring your Zyrtec.
Can we remake Tombstone, but where everyone's got dandelions in their nose? I
would absolutely love to. And my father would never be prouder. That's his favorite movie.
The good, the bad, and the allergic. What was the question?
Oh, I don't think I had one for a long time. But with D&D, I think it's really interesting, the crossover with improv, especially now, because it's in the zeitgeist, the right word? Like, mm-hmm. It's so popular now. Have you found, since taking improv classes, that your D&D playing has improved? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because the thing that got me into D&D was also comedy. The show that got me into it was called Harmon Quest. So, yeah.
Dan, I know it well.
Yeah. Dan Harmon was a writer who made a show called Community, and he's a co-creator of a show called Rick and Morty. And on his podcast, it was the first time I had ever actually heard or watched D&D get played, was on his podcast. And they were just fully audio. They pulled a DM from the crowd who was so good, he stayed on the podcast like until it ended. For like 7 years, he was on their podcast. And then they made an animated show called Harmon Quest, and it was just a comedy show. So it was Dungeons and Dragons, and it was playing characters, but it was just trying to be funny. So I thought D&D was that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like... almost like recreating Monty Python and the Holy Grail without just stealing all those references. And doing improv has made me, you really sink in the skin of a character. And like, of course, it's not all about jokes. It's just about finding awesome, real moments spontaneously with people that are also like not playing themselves. And like not because the most boring thing in the world to me is someone re-explaining D&D campaigns, but I've gotten really good at like making D&D characters with hooks, and it's made me a better like dungeon master. It's made me a more empathetic game runner. That was the main thing. I was never really a player. I was always game running. I was like, oh, if I'm the only one that knows D&D, I have to run it and know the rules. I can't say, hey, we should play this game and you should run it for me.
That seems to be the case with a lot of GMs where they, once they're skilled in it, they are always and forever the eternal GM.
Yeah, and I would do, I would totally be down to sit back. And it's actually helped more with improv because I do, I host, I do a lot of hosting. I got asked to host a couple of backyard jams. We hosted, it was before, was it, that was the improvised dating show that came down from Ann Arbor.
Fools.
Yeah, and you and I hosted a jam together.
That was very fun.
Yeah, I hosted jams and hosted my own shows at Cups of Art. And it's a thing that's more work than it is fun, but I find that work to be very fun. And I just do a lot of yelling. I don't even, I feel like more people should volunteer for it.
To yell?
Yeah, but yeah, just start and just, you get to, it's really fun to have, to like set the tone for the room and the performers, because my tone was always like, hey, mistakes don't matter. We're just here to have fun. You guys are all geniuses and poets. And you're all celebrities, and I'm scum, so let's have fun.
Well, none of that's true. Everything you, that's not true at all.
Oh.
I think you have a major talent for making people feel comfortable. So I wanted to ask with hosting jams specifically, because a lot of new players show up for those to kind of dip their foot in the water. Is there a technique you have or a thought you have in your mind to help them feel accepted and more comfortable in that space?
Ooh, yeah. We got, our friend Josh is, he works at a college called Siena Heights, and he asked a couple improvisers around here to do like freshman onboarding exercises at Siena Heights. This is maybe like a month or 2 months ago, and this is like out of high school, college freshman orientation. So these are some of the most nervous, anxious people in a huge transitional period. And also, by the way, we're going to play Zip Zap Zop. and that sounds horrible. But I, at least a workaround I had for that was doing a lot of question and answer games. So your question gets validated and so does the other person's answer. So it was a lot of like getting to know you, a lot of, you know, the game Let's Take a Trip, where we, let's take a trip to Paris, and you just say yes, and let's eat some raw snails. It's like yes, and let's eat them off the ground authentically. It's like yes, and let's cover ourselves in French dirt while we eat the snails. It's just let's take a trip, but you're both saying yes, and you're taking it to a sillier place. And that's like baby steps improv. And it validates everything that everybody's adding. So I, all that to say is there are newer person games, there are advanced games, there are long form exercises and short form exercises, and you kind of just have to figure out the experience level of the people that are playing. And there's really like no wrong answers. Like if no one's being openly offensive or being like openly terrible, be silly. Who cares? Yeah, you're eating. This is the third scene where you're eating snails in France. That's fine.
You're doing great.
You're doing great. Maybe yes, and next time somewhere that's not in France.
Right. And less snail related.
Less snail related. Yeah.
Have you thought about teaching?
I would love to.
I think you'd be a wonderful teacher.
It was a lot of fun just to. I'm a very weird, silly guy. I'm probably. I've talked to my therapist about it a lot. Probably undiagnosed ADHD. I'll see you in a year. But I would love to be a teacher, and it was really good just to be myself and teach improv games to college kids. That was just like the thing I loved when I got hooked on it was the most eye contact I got every week. I was like working at FedEx Ground when I started improv like a year and a half ago, and nobody, you know, they wouldn't care if you got pulled off in a truck and got sent to the other side of the country. So I loved that it was like we started off classes with a share circle, and that you were fielding suggestions from the rest of the class who wasn't in the scene, or that you got after the end of an exercise, the teacher would say like, okay, how did we feel about that? Do we have any feedback? It was supremely validating. I would love to be a teacher just so I could give that back to anybody who would have needed it. Because I needed it really bad when I started.
I'm curious, what was your first day of Improv 101 like?
Super insanely nervous. I was shaking. I kind of started live performance with stand-up comedy in, I don't know, like the spring of 2018. And that was in Bowling Green, and it was just at open mic nights. And it was terrible, but it was also like really nerve-wracking. I remember like shaking before and after my set. And it was the same thing of like, it didn't matter how well I did. It never felt like it was enough. And that first class, no, probably the first couple of classes, I was like, hey, I could quit whenever. I can quit whenever I want, man. No one's making me do this. No one's making me come back. That guy quit. I could quit whenever. And I just didn't. I'm so glad I didn't. But it was kind of nice to be like, hey, at any point, no stakes. I can just bail, go home, and get all my money back.
But you kept putting yourself through it, even that fear.
Yeah. Partly, Jeremy is a really good teacher. Jeremy Natter is an insanely welcoming, nice, funny, I don't want to say childish in a mean way, mm-hmm. but like makes me feel like I'm a kid again when we're playing in scenes together.
He reminds me of a Muppet. Like to me, he's like a human Muppet. Like yeah. I could see just his arms flailing and like he's so funny.
I could see, yeah, he could be, Jeremy could very easily slot into a character on Fraggle Rock.
Oh, very easily.
Yeah. Or a pirate on Muppet's Treasure Island.
Yeah, I would have liked to experience him as a teacher as well. I haven't yet, so I might have to retake something.
You should.
Something.
Yeah, before he leaves on the ship like Gandalf and the rest of the elves and never comes back.
He's leaving with the elves.
Yeah, he's going back to the Eternal. I should know the name of it now.
Yeah. You've mentioned Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and I have no reference for those, so I apologize.
We got to get on that. You got to watch 6 seasons of The Sopranos and all the Star Wars movies.
It'll never happen.
Please.
No, it'll never happen.
It's so good.
I'll watch Sex and the City again.
Well, I'll watch it again. I'll watch And Just Like That if you just watch some of Sopranos.
All right.
Deal.
Do you have any advice for people that are looking to join the improv world?
So I'm just going to plagiarize a lot of advice that I've heard. None of this is coming from me. I would say if you're going to be in a show, like take the context of the show. So if you're an established improviser, take the context of the show into consideration for like how you're going to play. So I got to be in like my first monthly, like the Glass City Improv's first, Glass City Improv's monthly show. My first one was this year. And I was listening to a podcast where they said like, if your show is on a Friday night and there's alcohol and it's like 8 or 9 o'clock, then just play big and play loud and play to the back of the room. And I'm like, oh, that's exactly what I'm doing. So if your show is a short form show on the weekend and there's alcohol, go nuts. If it's a long form show on a Tuesday at 6, play a little bit different. And, if you're an established player, that's for you. If you're newer, watch a lot of improv. If you're like a level 1 or a level 2, or you're nervous about even getting into it, just watch a bunch of it. Because it's very doable. You could just as easily be up there making up stuff on the spot. And you should really just be watching a lot of improv at any point in the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say listen to podcasts. My favorite one is called The Backline. That actually changed my life. The Backline podcast is the reason I found out I could run my own shows.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Because they just said, you can do it if your community doesn't have it. And we only had the one. I was like, what do you mean? Me? This guy? And then I did. So the Backline podcast, Adam, one of the co-hosts, Adam Cawley, is going to be at Glass City. He's going to be at the Valentine teaching a workshop in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I would say just take in as much of it as you can. Watch as much of it as you can. And jams are always free. You don't have to participate in a jam, but you can absolutely go and watch a jam for free at any theater.
Well, Ocean, do you want to do a little improv?
I would love to. I would love it.
Our suggestion was College Freshman. John, you ate my cherries again.
Xavier, your cherries were on my side of the refrigerator. If you don't want those cherries eaten, I'd say keep them in the mini fridge by your bed.
You're so dramatic, John.
I didn't come all the way from East London to this boring, humdrum State University in Ohio to be talked down to by a math major.
John, you're doing great in theater. We know it. We all talk about it in the common rooms.
You should. I'm a big deal. I was in every play from the Scottish play. You don't say Macbeth in the theater. Oh, no, I did it. Just there.
Oh.
What do you mean you talk about me?
Oh, we talk about you often. Well, one, you're stealing all of our food constantly. You're insatiable, John.
I thought you were saying good things.
No, we have meetings to discuss the problems you cause all of us.
So the photos of my face across the dorm, not...
Yes, wanted, John.
I thought those were
East London.
I thought those were wanted for acting auditions. Thought, oh, good. Finally something about me.
It's always about you.
Clearly not this cherry thing. This is about, oh, me, my cherries, my... I'll do the accent. My cherries are gone. There. Ooh.
Rude.
Yeah.
Rude, John. You were assigned to this room. I didn't request for an East Londoner to show up and steal my food.
Well, you've got one, and you're stuck with one for the entire of winter break. I'm not going home. I'm not allowed back.
I understand their point of view.
Well, could you also believe, I thought I was getting auditions out there too. Also wanted posters all over East London. And I guess, what, stealing cherries is a crime everywhere that you go?
Yes. It just, yes. It's written in the bylaws for our dormitory.
Why don't you switch from mathematics to law if you know it so well?
John.
I hate that tone.
I want you to hear me. We need some respect. We're going to be 4 years. We're freshmen. 4 years together.
Respect. Okay.
R-E-S-P-E-C.
You don't have to spell it out to me. I know how to spell respect. How about if I eat the cherries, I'll spit them in the trash. Is that fine?
No.
You spit them on the floor then?
You don't eat my things. Eat your things. Are you having troubles?
Many.
I can share.
Many. The little card thing for all the food on campus, mine's in pounds. It's not in dollars. So I've been eating out of vending machines that just kind of hopefully someone like left like a thing of peanuts in the bottom and didn't take it out.
That's very sad.
For an actor, it's kept me in shape, but it hasn't kept me well nutritioned.
You look fantastic, I will say.
Thank you. It's the only thing I have left.
If not malnourished.
I like to think all of my favorite actors were a little malnourished. The guy from Peaky Blinders ate like an almond a day. And he's also from England.
You know what? I see a lot of Cillian Murphy in you.
Oh, that's his name. It's the malnourished brain
fog. I was going
fog.
To say Steve Buscemi.
That's also who I was thinking of.
Okay.
Handsome, gaunt man.
Mm-hmm. Very handsome.
Ideally, who I would like to go for is a Steve Buscemi.
You are a Buscemi type.
Ooh. Is that my essence? Buscemesque?
Yes, Buscemesque. You could have a perfume.
Do we have any classes together?
I don't think you're on my level, John.
What do you mean? You should take an acting class with me. Please, they would love you.
I would never.
Why? With me?
I'm too good for that.
We'll bring your cherries, share them with the class. They would love you.
You need
love?
To stay away from my cherries. It will be the end of us.
What if we have AM-PM deal? You get them in the AM and I'll get them... PMs.
If you bought your own, my mother ships me those cherries.
Your mother's a very nice woman. Could she give me anything?
Yes, I will gladly share. It's about you asking.
No,
I wake up for my midnight
snack. I think so. The thing, okay, I don't want to call you Cherry Hitler because that's quite bad. But
it is.
I will say, London.
That's what you'll say? All right, John, I was trying. I tried.
You tried.
You have to be reassigned. No one will take you.
Give me your mother's number, and we'll see how that goes.
What?
So she can at least send me, like, socks. I've already gone through all of my underwears.
I know. It smells in here.
Well, I use yours, too.
Oh, God, John. You're making it worse.
Should I have asked?
I'm such a forgiven I forgive, but not this time.
I'll be the bigger person, too. I forgive you as well.
What have I done? You've stolen everything from me.
Not everything.
I've had to go commando.
If you're going commando, that sounds like you still have pants. Winnie the Poohing it could be significantly worse.
Great silver lining, John.
It's a gigantic silver lining. One,
as are my pants.
Yeah, it's a Levi's brand sized silver lining of pants to no pants. You want to walk around campus? No pants?
I'm disappointed in how this conversation has gone.
I think we have a lot of room to grow, and we have 4 years to get along.
You're not going to have a room.
You can stay with me. You can stay in my half of the room then.
You're gaslighting me.
I'm British. We invented it.
That's true. It's in your blood. I'm starting to take your accent from you. I'm from Ohio.
Is that scene?
Yes.
I feel like we could have had a couple.
Thank you for being here, Ocean. It was so nice to talk to you.
Lindsay, thank you so much for inviting me. I don't want to say I'm the one that gave you... You had the idea for the show, so I can't say I gave you the idea for the show.
I forgot to mention, yes, the whole reason this is happening is because of Ocean here, so I couldn't be more thankful to have you as a friend and as a guest.
I was at the Valentine Theater, and WGT was just advertising Voices Around Us. So that I'm really glad. Well, I'm really glad I didn't steal it, and I'm really glad that you have it. I'm really glad you have it.
Well, thank you.
You're a very good interviewer. You're a very good improviser.
That's so kind. Thank you very much. Thank you to WGTE, Voices Around Us, and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer, for making this podcast possible. And of course, thank you to today's guests for sharing their stories and their love of improv. You can find Improv 419 at wgte.org/improv419 or any podcast streaming platform. And finally, thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in and supporting. Please check out the other wonderful podcasts, part of the Voices Around Us series, and stay tuned for more Improv 419 episodes.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.